You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is a wonderful Wednesday, or as a commercial referred to it years ago, Hump Day. And my brother was he shares the name with that camel on that commercial, and he was the one who made me laugh about that every time we would talk, and he would talk about Wednesday being the hump part of the week. It means it's downhill from here. I mean, we've made it halfway, and after Wednesday, it's getting closer and closer and to the weekend, and being able to get some things done around the house and things like that. So I hope you are planning on having a good day. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Want to invite you out to our services tonight. Wednesday night is Bible study night. We have a kids class. We have a young adults class that meets as well. And we are excited about some things that are coming up. We have a game night that is coming up. I believe it's a week from Friday, 6 p.m. And then we also have a number of exciting things happening. We're going to be doing some things with Mila Elementary. We're going to be delivering some school supplies. If you want to be a blessing to some kids who, you know, I don't know if you think back to when you had kids in school. August was a very expensive time because kids were needing new school clothes. They were needing new shoes. They were needing all the school supplies and all that sort of stuff. And I dreaded August because it was such a hit to our family budget. And so we have set out in the month of July to be gathering school supplies so that we can be a blessing to those who may not be able to afford all those school supplies on their own. And if you are interested in helping in that endeavor, we have a website, merrittassembly.com, and you can go on there and you can make donations in other areas and things like that. And or if you wanted to make a donation and send a check, 165 North Grove Street, it's Merritt Assembly of God, Merritt Island, Florida 32953. We're going to be blessing as many people as we can with paper and pencils and glue sticks and Kleenexes and probably hand sanitizer and all those sorts of things that that are needed this time of year. So if you aren't doing anything tonight and you'd rather than sit at home and watch reruns, come out and join us as we dive into the book of Exodus and make some real life applications in our lives. So today we are returning to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 31. We covered verses 31 and 32 yesterday, but it says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. That's where we're going to end the reading. So we had concluded yesterday with he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to remind you that while God gives every good and perfect gift, the enemy seeks to set out to trap you, to deprive you of all of the blessings that God wants you to have. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I think it's important to remember that as believers, he is our righteousness. God is our righteousness. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He is also, or the kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I hope that you are living with abundant evidence of the many provisions that God has made available to you. So one of the things that I have tried to adopt, I've done this since I was very young, is that I don't believe that believers live on fixed incomes. Now, I am officially a senior now, but I've always looked at it and said, you know what? God has me to has the ability to bless me supernaturally. Even if my natural resources are finite, my God is infinite. And he's able to provide supernatural provision on a regular basis. So I'm very, very, very thankful for that. And I want you to know that when I embraced that mindset, it was because of an 80-year-old man that was in my congregation when I was, you know, not anywhere near 80. I was in my 30s, early 30s. But I realized that God had provided for him, and he would go out, he would collect aluminum cans off the side of the road, so he was providing a service to the community. He was doing his part to keep Brevard beautiful, but he had also was having an additional stream of revenue. It might not be much. It gave him something to do. It gave him additional income. He had created this device that he was able to compress all of those cans, and so whenever he did go to the recycling place, he was able to haul a lot more product than what he would have been able to had he not compressed them. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful that even though I might have a finite amount of wisdom in me, the God inside of me has an infinite amount of wisdom. That his favor, his grace exceeds abundantly more than what I can ask or think or imagine. So I just want to encourage you today not to buy into the world's mindset of dependency upon them, but to make sure you lift your eyes up to see that God has the ability to provide miraculously. And sometimes he will do that through moving on people's hearts. That's one of the things that we've been able to bless people. We've been able to drill water wells in Africa. We as a congregation literally enabled a church in Mexico to be completely renovated, and it became one of the nicest, you know, structures in the community because of a connection that we had. And so sometimes God moves up on people to be a resource to provide supernatural blessing. But I want you to understand that God is not limited. If there's no one around who will say yes to God's plan to bless his people, God will take care of it himself. So the next statement, the next, what then shall we say to these things, is this: who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Okay? And so the enemy, Satan, is known as the accuser of the brethren. Okay? And so there are things that are called accusations, allegations. There are claims that are made, and the Bible instructs us that as believers, we are to live our life in such integrity before God and before man that if there are allegations or accusations that are made against us, that all of the evidence will be there, and it would undermine the allegations and the accusations to people say, no, that's not true. So Jesus had false accusations made against him. Ahab, Jezebel made a false allegation against Naboth because Ahab wanted his vineyard. So please understand that not every accusation, not every allegation is going to be true. Not all accusations are created equal. Okay. Now, with that being said, I will say this, that if you are human and Satan makes accusation and say, hey, God, I remember when he told a lie. When I think back, I was cornered by a ninth grader when I was in seventh grade, and they were wanting to baptize me in the boys' room. They said, "Have you been baptized?" And I said, "Yes, I have." And they said, "Who baptized you?" Well, I just made up the name of one of the seventh or one of the ninth graders, but it wasn't true. I had been baptized. That was true. But I was baptized by my pastor, not by that guy. And if you ask me, Bob, have you ever told a lie? I said, yeah, I have. That accusation would be true. Bob, have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah, I have. You see, when I was just a boy, little boy. Don't remember exactly how old, but I went with my mother to the grocery store. This was long before security cameras or anything like that. And while we were in the grocery store, I just reached down and grabbed a candy bar. And we got out to the car, and my mother said, "Where did you get that?" I said, "From the grocery store." She said, "Did you pay for it?" "No." And so she marched me back in there, found the manager of the grocery store, and made me apologize. And then I think she paid for the candy bar, and then I think I had to do chores to pay her back. So, Bob, have you ever stolen? Do you remember stealing the candy bar? Well, I do. I don't remember what brand of candy bar, but I remember stealing it. And I remember the consequences. And I remember how it disrupted my relational dynamic with my mother. By the way, I ended up working at that grocery store later on. Bob, have you ever dishonored your parents? Well, yes. Yes, I have. And let me say this. That's a commandment with promise. Having generational godliness really helps. Being a parent that is an honorable parent really helps the process as well. But even if you're an honorable parent, sometimes you're going to be dishonored by your kids. See, the Ten Commandments tells us what we're not supposed to do and what we are supposed to do. Have you ever dishonored the Sabbath? Yes, I have. So, let me just say this, that when you're 18, that doesn't mean that you no longer honor your parents. Jacob was probably in his 60s when he left home and went to find his uncle Laban. He wasn't 18. He was still doing what his parents said to do. He was still living there, and so that relationship of honor, it's something that continues all throughout our life. But when we honor someone, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be able to do everything they tell us to do. Okay. There's a difference between dishonoring and not being able to comply with every request. So could the enemy accuse me of dishonoring my parent? Yes. Yes, he could. Would it be an accurate accusation? Yeah, it would. Well, what about dishonoring the Sabbath? I told you, I've had jobs where I've had to work and things like that. And I realized that, the little bit of money that I was paid was not worth my spiritual health. Did I violate it? Yeah, I did. Have you ever murdered anybody? No. But I've hated people. And Jesus said that. I want you to understand that many of the accusations that are made, have you coveted? Yes. Committed adultery? No. So there are things that are accusations and, the enemy may make accurate accusations against us. So the question is, who is he who condemns? Well, let me tell you that it says this in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when I came into Christ, when I asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life and my Savior, and I asked him to forgive me of my sins, and I said, Lord, I believe in you. At that point in time, the condemnation that already existed in my life was wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now there is no condemnation because I do not walk after the flesh like I used to. Now I walk according to the Spirit of God. Okay? And so because of that, God has wiped away my sins, cast them as far as the east is from the west. He no longer remembers those things. But the Bible never makes a promise that the enemy will forget about those things. And I will say this, it doesn't necessarily make a promise that I won't remember those things. I just no longer have to live under the condemnation of it. And so the question is, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Well, that's the enemy. It's not Jesus. It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? I want you to know that the enemy specializes in condemnation. He specializes in temptation, and if you yield to that temptation, he immediately moves into the realm of condemnation, making those accusations against you, trying to berate you, to think that you are a miserable failure and God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And I need to remind you that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those are things that we need to thank God that because God works for our good, and so he works all things together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, that as he's working for us, the enemy is still going to try and condemn us and make accusation against us. But I want you to know that if we continue in what God has called us to do, that the accusation that is made may actually work out to be a provisional benefit. So when Nehemiah came back, there were people who were upset about the rebuilding of the temple. They did not like it. They were upset about it, not happy at all. And so they made accusation. They said, hey, we want you to know powerful kings have ruled here. They've actually had, taxes that came into them from other areas. And if you allow this to continue, it's going to be to the detriment of the throne. And so the king said, we made a search and we found out, yeah, those accusations are true. And so Nehemiah and them, they continued building the wall, and they said, that accusation may be true, but what you don't understand is that we are here by decree of the king, by decree of Cyrus, and not only have we been given the permission and the command to build this city and to rebuild the temple, but we also have a decree of provision here. And so the accusers send a letter back to Darius, and they say, this is what they said. And the reply from Darius said, the things that they have said are true, and we are hereby issuing a decree that if anybody stands in their way, if anyone withholds the provisions that they need to complete the construction that has been mandated by the king, that it is not going to go well with them. And so there was miraculous provision that came as a result. What started off bad because of a false accusation ended up being something that worked in their favor. That same thing happened to Daniel when, they said, well, Daniel's praying to someone other than the king. And Daniel had a lifestyle of faithfulness. He was probably in his 80s at that point in time. And they had crafted that law because they knew that the only thing that they could find about Daniel, it would have to do with his relationship with God. And so they outlawed prayer, and Daniel prayed anyway. Anybody that tries to outlaw godliness, it's not going to go well for them. And so Daniel prayed, and then they put him in a den of lions. A den of lions is drastically different than a lion's den. A lion's den may be empty. The den of lions was fully occupied. But when they threw Daniel in, there was an angel that was dispatched as well, and he shut the mouths of the lions. The next morning, the king showed up, and Daniel, has your God been able to protect you? And Daniel replied, yes, he has. Well, the accusers of an accurate accusation that Daniel was praying when he wasn't supposed to legally be praying, that those accusers ended up getting removed from the scene. Their treatment by the den of lions, or the lions in the den of lions, was radically different than what Daniel's treatment was. Let me close out today by saying this. The enemy will try and bring charges against you. He will try and get you to live under condemnation, to feel as if you're completely worthless and that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. That's a reality. It's one of his tactics, one of his strategies. But I want you to know that Christ does love you. He does want to forgive you. He doesn't want you to run from him. He wants you to run to him. If we are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand condemned already. So Jesus came to remove from us the condemnation so that we could say, you know what? God has given me a glorious testimony. He has delivered me from the control of sin that was seeking to destroy me. He's not going to withhold anything good from me. And I will tell you this, all of the accusations that people make about God now, those are untrue accusations. They're still lying about God to this day. If the accusation was true about my past, God looks at me through the blood and he says, that accusation has already been dealt with forever. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.